The magic of an exquisitely prepared meal that someone else has cooked is like nothing else. We've just heard about the intellectual and creative side of restaurant life. But what does it actually take to get those plates out? New York chef Anthony Bourdain sheds some light for us on the day-to-day realities of a restaurant kitchen.
Say it's a quiet Monday night, and you've just checked your coat in that swanky Art Deco update in the Flatiron District, and you're looking to tuck into a thick slab of pepper-crusted yellowfin tuna or a 20-ounce cut of certified Black Angus beef well done. What are you in for? The fish specialty is reasonably priced. The place got 2 stars in the Times. Why not go for it? If you like four-day-old fish, be my guest. Here's how things usually work. The chef orders his seafood for the weekend on Thursday night. It arrives on Friday morning. He's hoping to sell the bulk of it on Friday and Saturday nights when he knows that the restaurant will be busy, and he'd like to run out of the last few orders by Sunday evening. Many fish purveyors don't deliver on Saturday, so the chances are that the Monday night tuna you want has been kicking around in the kitchen since Friday morning under God knows what kind of conditions. When a kitchen is in full swing, proper refrigeration is almost non-existent. What with the many openings of refrigerator doors as the cooks rummage frantically during the rush, mingling your tuna with the chicken, the lamb, or the beef. Even if the chef has ordered just the right amount of tuna for the weekend and has had to reorder it for Monday delivery, the only safeguard against the seafood supplier's offloading junk is the presence of a vigilant chef who can make sure that the delivery is fresh from Sunday night's market. Generally speaking, the good stuff comes in on Tuesday. The seafood is fresh, the supply of prepared food is new, and the chef, presumably, is relaxed after his day off. Most chefs don't work on Monday. Chefs prefer to cook for weekday customers rather than for weekenders, and they like to start the new week with their most creative dishes. Weekends are considered amateur nights, for tourists, rubes, and the well-done ordering pre-theater hordes. The fish may be just as fresh on Friday, but it's on Tuesday that you've got the goodwill of the kitchen on your side. People who order their meat well done perform a valuable service for those of us in the business who are cost conscious. They pay for the privilege of eating our garbage. In many kitchens, there's a time-honored practice called save for well done. When one of the cooks finds a particularly unlovely piece of steak, it's tough, riddled with nerve, connective tissue, off the hip end of the loin, maybe a little stinky from age, he'll dangle it in the air and say, hey chef, what do you want me to do with this? Now, the chef has 3 options. He can tell the cook to throw the offending item into the trash. That means a total loss, and in the restaurant business, every item of cut, fabricated, or prepared food should earn at least 3 times the amount it originally cost if the chef is to make his correct food cost percent. Or he can decide to serve that steak to the family. That is, the floor staff. Though that economically is the same as throwing it out. But no. What he's going to do is repeat the mantra of cost-conscious chefs everywhere. Save for well done. The way he figures it, the Philistine who orders his food well done is not likely to notice the difference between food and flotsam. Now, if you're one of those people who cringe at the thought of strangers fondling your food, you shouldn't go out to eat. As the author and former chef Nicholas Freeling notes in his definitive book, The Kitchen, the better the restaurant, the more your food has been prodded, poked, handled, and tasted. By the time a 3-star crew has finished carving and arranging your saddle of monkfish with dried cherries and wild herb-infused nage into a Parthenon or a space needle, it's had dozens of sweaty fingers all over it. Gloves? You'll find a box of surgical gloves in my kitchen, we call them anal research gloves, over every station on the line, for the benefit of the health inspectors. But does anyone actually use them? Yeah, a cook will slip a pair on every now and then, especially when he's handling something with a lingering odor like salmon. But during the hours of service, gloves are clumsy and dangerous. When you're using your hands constantly, latex will make you drop things, which is the last thing you want to do. Now, finding a hair in your food will make anyone gag. But just about the only place you'll see anyone in the kitchen wearing a hat or a hairnet is Blimpy. For most chefs, wearing anything on their head, especially one of those picturesque paper toques, who are often referred to as coffee filters, is a nuisance. They dissolve when you sweat, bump into range hoods, and burst into flame. In case I'm really scaring you, the fact is that most good kitchens are far less septic than your kitchen at home. I run a scrupulously clean, orderly restaurant kitchen where food is rotated and handled and stored very conscientiously. But if the city's Department of Health or the EPA decided to enforce every aspect of its codes, most of us would be out on the street. Recently, there was a news report about the practice of recycling bread. By means of a hidden camera in a restaurant, the reporter was horrified to see returned bread being sent right back to the floor. This, to me, wasn't news. The reuse of bread has been an open secret and a fairly standard practice in the industry for years. It makes a lot more sense to worry about what happens to the leftover table butter. Many restaurants recycle it for hollandaise. Now, I don't want to scare you off restaurants. I love what I do. I love cooking. I love eating. But understand, the best food is always an adventure.
Anthony Bourdain is a chef in New York City. His essay, Don't Eat Before Reading This, first appeared in The New Yorker. Look for his book, Kitchen Confidential, later on in the year. I'm not sure if we really want to know more about this.